Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so the head football coach of the Hurricanes is Manny Diaz. He joins us here on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenience. Coach, good morning. We appreciate you joining us here. You fill out a bracket? Are you involved in the NCAA tournament at all? Who you got in Final Four? Go.
Got the Lady Hurricanes in the Final Four.
I like it.
Oh, oh, good answer.
The men's side, I'm not sure about it. Let's go with America. There we go.
Good answer. America. Good answer. Are you used to being called the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes yet? Is it still one of those you got to pinch yourself kind of deals?
It's probably a little bit still in the pinching phase. I've gotten over looking at my shoulder and talking to somebody else, but honestly, you're so preoccupied with all the work at hand that you don't get a lot of time to really think about it.
Coach, I'm going to put you on hold for a second here. I'm going to see if they can get you a better connection because we could barely hear you. So let's fix it up because we got a bunch of things we want to talk to the coach about. All right. So
you can talk to me in the meantime, Mean Gene.
I'm not interested in talking to you, man. I want to talk to the real coach.
Spring games are about to come down.
And now we have a Mean Gene for Canes football too.
Mean Gene's he's saying
mean
that
Gene,
I'm
Gene. I'm Macho Manny Diaz here.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
Let's pretend like I'm him.
It's hard to
rolled back
keep
on
up
my
your wrestling impressions.
Calling back on the guest line right now. Yeah, hopefully my connection's a little bit better.
Oh, all right. Let's try here, Coach. You hear us okay here?
Yeah, how's this?
Much better. That's a little bit better. Okay, very good. All right, so hype up the new quarterback for us. Man, I know you got several quarterbacks on the team. You don't want to necessarily favor one over the other, but we've been talking about Tate Martell the last couple of days. I don't know much about Tate Martell, okay? I think a lot of Hurricane fans don't know much about Tate Martell. So make us feel good about the kid that's now eligible to play.
Well, what drew us to Tate was there were some things that we felt like were lacking in our quarterback room at the time, either because we didn't have it or just because we were young and hadn't grown into it. And that was, what I would call some of the it factor, just the leadership, being a gym rat, a guy that's all about being in the playbook and a guy that's sort of a natural leader of men. Tate, just sort of his personality sort of just brings people together. He's got a little bit of that to him. But we didn't, and we felt like bringing him in would help sort of reset the culture of that room and bring it out in the other guys as well. Because we do think we have some young guys that have talent and can do it. But they have to understand what it really takes to play quarterback, not just at the college level, but for the University of Miami. This is a big job. It's not for everybody. We didn't bring Tate here to crown him. We brought Tate here to, like, we have it out every position on the field to create a knockdown, drag out competition to find out, who the best guy we have is and get everybody out of their comfort zone and really see what's the best team we can put on the field in the fall.
And it seems like he's got a couple high school teammates that are really vouching for him and saying how good and how impressionable of a player he will be in the locker room. Playing on the field, that's yet to be seen, obviously, on our end. But in terms of a guy to be your leader, it seems like he's got a couple high school guys that really say he can do the job.
Well, there's no doubt. And obviously they had a pretty darn good high school team together. But now that's high school's over, right? I mean, you got to come do it at this level and players. Players love, leadership is two things, especially that position. I mean, there are certain intangible qualities, but they also want to be led by the guy that's going to get first downs and touchdowns. We're trying to sort of reset the dynamic of the culture in that room. But at the same time, Coach Enos is going to get those guys greased up on what we want to do offensively and who can deliver the ball to the guys we have that can make plays.
You speak of Coach Enos. He's our new offensive coordinator down here in South Florida. And one of my questions was, who on offense should we be focusing in on in terms of position grouping? Because we know your defense has been on point the last few years. So replacing guys like Redwine in the backfield, a few other key players, and then obviously your defensive front, I imagine that's going to get done and taken care of. But my big question mark is going to be on the offensive side of the football.
Well, there's no doubt that everybody will want to be focusing on that. But again, I think it's always – a little bit dangerous in college football when you sort of make assumptions like, oh, well, we'll just be fine on defense. You know, that's going to lead to, you know, that's what we're battling and we're putting in our defensive players' faces every day because we don't want a complacency like, well, you know, we just get the offense figured out and we'll have this thing. No. I mean, to be the program that we want to be, you know, everybody's got to take a major step forward in, you know, on both sides of the ball. Now, a lot of the things that we're doing on offense right now are really taxing our defense, which is really helping those guys. And again, getting those guys out of their comfort zone because they're seeing different things on the practice field that they haven't seen. That's making, you know, really getting their wheels turning up top. And as far as the offense, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, obviously everyone's going to focus on the quarterback. We've got great battles at every position. We think we've got guys that can play on the offensive line. We think we got guys that can play at wide out. We think we got guys that can play at tight end and running back. But what we, you know, we're going to find out tomorrow. Tomorrow's the first day we put pads on, right? So we've been playing two below the waist the first 2 days. And I'm going to harken back to when I got here in 2016 and everyone's like, oh, you know, thank God we're going to go to a 4-3 defense and then we'll be better because we're on a 4-3 defense. And we put that in our guys' face every day that was a bunch of crap, that's not what was going to make the difference, that our strain and our effort and our toughness was going to make the difference. And on the outside, everybody think, well, just, you know, schematic changes would make us better. But on the inside, we found out, you know, we were preaching that just being a better tackling team and being more physical and running the ball, which sounds so simple, but if you don't have it, it's not so simple. And we didn't have it. Offensively, again, it's fun to have a new scheme and it's fun to think that that's going to be the answer, but there's no scheme that can overcome a lack of competitiveness. There's no scheme that can overcome a lack of toughness. And so, you know, what do we have talent? Well, we kept hearing how much talent we had on defense when we showed up in 2016. But talent that's not competing really isn't talent. So, with starting tomorrow morning and then really the next, I guess, 4 weeks we've got a spring ball, we got to find out who our competitors are. Because what happens is when guys get told that they're talented all the time, they don't think they're the problem. But if they're not competing, then they are the problem. So, we're gonna have a good old fun time here starting tomorrow morning around 9 a.m. and it's gonna continue through mid April. When at least we'll have an idea in the summer of who the right guys are to teach the scheme to, because it'll make a difference to teach some good scheme to somebody that won't lay it out there and really compete.
We got Coach Manny Diaz joining us here. You know, Coach, this is always interesting to me when a coach is either fired or resigns. You know, like Coach Rick did, and someone from the staff is then eventually promoted to head coach, essentially like you were. It's always interesting to me where, you know, did you have ideas last year, maybe over the last couple years, that it'd be better if we did it this way, it'd be better if we did it this way, and those ideas were, say, rejected by Coach Rick, or it was just, you know, were you keeping that to yourself, that, hey, I really think this would have been a better way to do things? Like, you understand what I'm saying? How does that work?
Well, I think when you're in that role, you know, as a coordinator, what you're really just trying to do is you're really just trying to get your side of the ball, you know, right. You're trying to control what you can control. And again, I believe this in my core. I had no doubt, even as I was leaving for Temple, that Coach Rick had the plan to get Miami turned around, you know, because again, we weren't that far off from the team that, you know, had won 15 straight games the year before. So I think it's more in terms of when all of a sudden someone points to you and says, hey, you're the guy in charge now. You've got to say, okay, well, here's what, you know, when given the chance philosophically from top to bottom, everything in the organization, here's how we want to run things. And that would have been the same if I had still been at Temple or being at Miami. And that's why I really wanted our players, like, and that's why I was mentioning to Brett, even on defense, I want them to all feel like they're at a new place. I didn't want anyone walking around like, oh, we're good. You know, at least everything's, you know, at least I'm coming back to the same program. We really wanted, you know, everybody a little bit out of their comfort zone because that's really where the growth occurs. And obviously we felt like we needed some growth.
Speaking about comfort zone, I know you got a coaching clinic for a lot of the local high school coaches here on the 30th. And I was wondering if you're nervous at all, or is Macho Manny Savage going to be prepared and ready for any kind of Florida State infiltration possibly, and maybe Nike coming down and trying to go ahead and throw a little side party while you got your gig going on.
They're more than welcome. They can hang out. Shoot, they can, we'll pull up a chair and we can have a good little fellowship time. I know we look forward to seeing them on November 2nd, anytime sooner is fine with us.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we have a nice little get-together.
I like it.
I know it was a little while ago at this point, Coach, but was everything we heard about that last coach's clinic, was all that true, or was, you know, a little bit embellishment
fishing
there?
Tales.
It was on the internet, so, you know, what percentage do you think was true?
Oh, all of it then.
Well, of course, right?
Yeah.
Everything's true on the internet.
Yeah.
No, of course everything wasn't true. It was true-ish. Some of it was true.
Okay.
what was true is that it's a clinic that we had not been at. And there's a lot of high school coaches at, and we just wanted a presence again. We wanted to have the ability to use that word again, to fellowship with some high school coaches. It really, to be honest, the Florida State aspect of it was not really, you know, at the forefront of our thoughts.
But a lucky coincidence, though.
Hey, it worked out pretty nicely.
Yep.
But really, realistically, it was about something. We had to do something to let the high school coaches in this state know how important they are to us. There is not a group of coaches that does more than less than high school coaches in the state of Florida, and particularly high school coaches here in South Florida, because of the teams that they put on the field and the talent they put on the field and what they do, you know, with the resources they have compared to what happens in other states. You know, if they don't feel our appreciation, then we're not doing it right.
So how many more days until we get to tee off against the Rednecks in Orlando?
I don't have my day count on me right now, but I know we moved it up a week, and that's, you know, that's a great game to get everybody, you know, in our organization. You know, every day matters, because the sense of urgency, you can really feel it, because you know that when you come to Miami playing Florida, it's a game that you got to win, and it's a game that, you know, you'll remember. Did you ever play in one of those games?
Oh yeah, yeah. We got to go up to the Swamp and whoop their ass. Kind of came back home and partied it up a little bit.
Yeah, it was in like 02, right? 02
or
03.
Yeah. And then we went up against them in the Sugar Bowl and you know, kind of physically whooped them in the street, and then a couple days later got to beat them up again in the Superdome. So it was nice. It was a good little, you know, 3-0 for me personally. On a personal level, I guess.
Well, and that's why what we've got to find out is we've got to find out who are our guys that are capable of that. And what I'm talking about is just from mentality, and what I'm talking about is physically. You know, who's ready to go get into that type of an environment and win that type of, you know, battle, because that's really what those games are. Those are, you know, usually, you know, not safe for viewing type games, you know what I mean? And people that don't have that mentality to compete on that stage usually struggle. And you know, the one thing is this: listen, we have had there are issues that plagued Miami. We are addressing our issues, and that's what this off season is about. Understand your problems, identify your problems, and work to fix your problems. And playing those guys first, make sure that everybody understands the urgency of identifying those things, getting them fixed as rapidly as possible.
Coach, we know this means something to you. Okay, you're a Miami guy. We know you care. Do you have a favorite memory, a favorite moment, a favorite game growing up and going to the Orange Bowl? Like, I grew up here, 1991, number one versus number two. Canes beat Notre Dame 27-10. That was my favorite moment, my favorite game being at as I was 10 years old. Do you have a favorite game, maybe going with your father growing up?
Probably, if we're talking about Canes, it was probably, I guess, 86 Oklahoma. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know, that was the three straight years when we beat Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma went 33-3, and those three losses were to Miami. But what was special about that game was when, you know, in the old Orange Bowl, it wasn't always full, right? In the big games, you know, when Florida or Florida State would come down, you know, there'd be 20,000 Seminoles or Gators in there with, you know, all their alumni in the area. But when OU came down that day, the place was, you know, packed to the rafters. that was Miami. Oklahoma wasn't bringing 20,000 fans. I mean, that was really the city. I mean, and to beat the heck out of those guys the way that we did that day, and that was the, you know, the bye-bye Bosworth day. It was just one of those days where it couldn't have, you know, everything worked out so amazingly, and it was just, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about it.
Great job, Coach. Good talking to you. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.